Psalm 82, and there are notes in the back if you need, but follow along, please, as I read. A Psalm of Asaph. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. So here, once again, we see that we have a psalm of Asaph, and nothing is known of the history behind this psalm, but the psalm seems to be a vision of a heavenly court scene where God condemns those who judge unfairly. And Asaph no doubt observed the bribery and corruption in the courts, and he writes a song about it. Okay, so this song is about people, judges who are judging unfairly and being respecters of persons. And one of the things you will notice in our court systems, supposed to be anyway, what does Lady Justice have around her head? A blindfold, right? Because she's not supposed to see. Justice is not supposed to see if you're rich or you're poor, you know, young, old. Justice is supposed to be blind. Scale in one hand to weigh the evidence one way or the other, and a sword that is drawn to execute quick judgment and justice if that is the case, okay? Don't want to get into a message tonight about the need of court reform, but that's a story for another day. But here, Asaph was viewing bribery and not being fair and not being just. And so that's what he writes about. This is a remarkable psalm, and it's quoted by Jesus in John 10. Let's turn to John 10, please, and just take a moment. We'll discuss this again, but I want to read in the context of Jesus quotes this verse in John 10:34, but to bring it into context, I want to start in verse 22. John 10:22, of course, prior to this, Jesus is speaking about being the good shepherd, and he brings that up again in this discourse. But notice verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Okay, what Jewish holiday is that is being spoken of here? Hanukkah, okay? So it's the celebration of Hanukkah, which is a intertestament holiday, which commemorates the victory of the Maccabees over when the temple was being ransacked and the temple was once again purified, and the miracle of the oil. There was supposedly only very little oil there, but there was enough oil. God made the oil last long enough so that the temple can be purified. And this is the setting. Verse 23, Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, and here's our text, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. So again, this is where Jesus quotes this psalm. And as it says there in our notes again, he staked his deity on a poetic quotation in the psalm because it was the word of God, and thus he gave a wonderful testimony to the fact of the verbal inspiration of the Psalms as well as all of the Bible. Now we're going to, after we look at the Psalm, we're going to come back and look at John 10 again and see some things in there and how what Jesus said in John 10 fits perfectly into the context of this Psalm as well. Okay? But this Psalm has to do with judgment and has to do with the fact that the people in Asaph's day were not judging properly, just as the people in Jesus' day were not judging properly. And they were not realizing who he was, okay, and what he had done. A couple of things for us to understand here before we get into the meditation part. The word mighty in verse 1 is the Hebrew word El, and it means almighty, okay? And in verse 1 and 6, we see gods with a small g, okay? The Hebrew word here is Elohim. It's the same word of God with a capital G, okay? But this is also translated judges. This word Elohim is also translated judges. Turn with me to Exodus 21. Second book of the Bible, Exodus 21. And here we have the account of the freed bond slave. And in Exodus 21 in verse 6, it says, then his master shall bring him unto the, notice that word, what's that word? Judges, okay? That's the same word, Hebrew word, Elohim, okay? It's the same word that is translated gods with a small g. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. Go to chapter 22, verse 9. And it says, for all manners of trespasses, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challenges to be his, the case of both parties shall come before the judges. And whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. Okay? So, of course, it's not speaking here in the psalm. It's not speaking of us being deity, okay? But it's speaking here of the judges, okay? The people who judge. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods, or you could say he judgeth among the judges. And verse 6, I have said ye are gods, okay? It could also be translated, I said ye are judges, okay? So a little bit of a study that clears up that misunderstanding for us. Number two, verse two, persons. The word persons. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked. This word literally means, has the idea to lift up the face. And if we think of justice being blind and not looking upon the people, that's the idea here. They're looking upon whom they're judging, and they're making a case based upon what that person looks like. Oh, this person is poor. Okay? I'll judge them differently than this person who is rich. Look at what it says, please, in Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book. Look what it says in chapter 19 concerning judgment. Okay? Chapter 19, verse 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Okay? So don't make exceptions for poor people or for rich people. Don't feel sorry for a poor person because they're poor. If they're guilty, they're guilty. Don't feel obligated because somebody is rich that you need to treat them differently. Okay? And one more, Proverbs. Right after Psalms is Proverbs. Proverbs 18 and verse 5, the Bible says, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Okay? So again, unjust judges are rebuked here in this psalm. So that's the idea. So with that in mind, there's your outline. Verse 1, the congregation assembled and the judges ready. In verses 2 and 4, the silence is broken by a question and a charge. In verses 5 to 7, a sentence is passed. And then in verse 8, a call upon God to judge the earth. Now notice with me in verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Picture in your mind, if you will, God standing in the midst of the congregation, ready to judge the earth. And that's the background you have of this psalm. Okay? It's a courtroom scene. And God is the judge. Okay? And then in verses 2 to 4, silence broken by a question. Look at verse 2. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. So we see here the people have nothing to say. And there is an awe-inspiring silence which results from the consciousness of God's presence. These people realize they're standing in the presence of God and they have nothing to say. And that will be the case when judgment day comes. People won't have anything to say to God. Finally, God breaks the silence with the question, how long will ye judge unjustly? There's a pause and no one speaks. A guilty nation is silent before God. And so since there's no answer, he speaks again. And this time bringing a charge against them of having perverted justice and accepting the persons of the wicked. And instead of delivering the poor and needy and rescuing the oppressed from the hand of the wicked, they had been doing the opposite. So here, the poor and the needy and the afflicted were being treated bad, not only out in the world, but when their case came to court. They were being treated badly by the court as well. Maybe they were taking bribes, the judges, from the rich people. That's been known to happen, hasn't it? You know, and, you know, we hear all the stories of the days of prohibition and organized crime in our country where much of the judges and the law and the attorney generals and all that were on the payroll, right? And people were literally getting away with murder. And God, and you know, so for someone to have their day in court, they really weren't having their day in court. And this was happening back in Asaph's day, God was upset with this. So in verses 5 to 7, the sentence is passed. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Boy, doesn't that apply to today, that last phrase, all the foundations of the earth are out of course? It just seems strange. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Again, God waits, but there is no sign of repentance. He speaks again, they neither know nor understand, and they walk in darkness. These are God's children, and they're walking in darkness. Therefore, the very foundation of the earth are shaken. And finally, he passes sentence. I have said ye are gods, or I have said ye are judges, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Even though you're my children, even though you know me, even though you have my word, you're not judging properly. You're just like anyone else. And you'll die just like any other man. And the reason why he called them gods was because the word of God had come to them. They had been elevated to a position of authority and responsibility. They were sons of the Most High, but in spite of that, they shall perish because they have not discharged that responsibility. James tells us in his book, be not many teachers. Why? Because you have a greater responsibility, a greater accountability. And think about that. You know, think about Judas. You know, think about the light that Judas sinned against. You know, Judas was with God the Son for three and a half years, and yet he chose to sin against him. And think about these folks here. They have the word of God. They have the law. They know the law. They're the nation of Israel. And God tells them exactly how to judge cases, all in the law. But they weren't doing that. So verse 8 says, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. The sentence having been pronounced, Asaph calls upon God to do in deed and truth what he has seen in vision, that is to judge the earth, for he says, thou shalt inherit all nations. The earth is the Lord's. He is coming to judge, and of course we know all judgment is given to the Son. Jesus told us that. And there is coming a day when all the wrongs will be made right, and you know, when the world will be judged righteously. And it's, what does the Bible say about standing in front of God? It's a what? Fearful thing. You know, it's a fearful thing. Now, if we can go back for a moment and discuss John 10 and bring that kind of in context to what we were doing here. Jesus used this psalm, Psalm 82, to establish his deity in the mind of the Jews who came to him in John 10. They had been made gods or judges, okay? Gods are the small g. They had been elevated to a position of authority and responsibility. Think about it. They were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, right? They were people of great authority. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus when he came to him at night? You know, Nicodemus, you're a teacher of the law and you don't know these things, you know? So they had been elevated to this position of authority and responsibility, but having had the word of God come to them, they were judging him, Jesus, at that very time. But like the judges in this psalm, they neither knew or understood, for he, Jesus, had not only had the word of God come to him, but he had been sent by God to them, and his works revealed it. So think about it. The word of God told about Jesus. Jesus said God sent him, and all the works that he did proved that he was the Son of God. So therefore, what should the judgment have been by the Sadducees and the Pharisees? You're the Messiah. But instead, what was it? You're a blasphemer. You You know, in other places, you do the works in the power of Beelzebub. But they told them in John 10, you're blaspheming. You're making yourself out to be God. Why then should they doubt who he claimed to be, the Son of God? If they had not been like the judges of this psalm, they would have believed him for the sake of his works. So he leaves them with the unspoken implication that the sentence of this psalm is passed on to them, and for the same reason. For although they had marvelous opportunities, they would not hear God and died like mere men. Think about that. All that time and seeing all those works. Now, there were a few priests that came, you know, priests came to him, we're told, after his resurrection, and we're told that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, you know, there were some who believed, but the vast majority of them did not believe. Their judgment was wrong, okay? And the fate that these folks met in Psalm 82 was the same fate that they met. They didn't believe God. And it's interesting in those two accounts, if you look at them, how John 10 and Psalm 82 fit so much together. Now, this is just an interesting fact. I don't know if you're into all these kind of facts. But Psalm 82:6, which Jesus quoted, is the middle verse of the book of Psalms in the King James Version of the Bible.